Greetings. Welcome to all listening. From the Plain Truth, January 1978, Happy New Year. Here we are, again with another new year. We see festivity, resolutions, predictions, and income tax around the corner. What will happen, let's say, over the next 10 years? Nobody knows for sure, but there are some good guesses that can be made, putting together present trends and biblical prophecy. From Plain Truth, December 64, reprinted, Truth About New Year's. How did the celebration of New Year's begin? Why is the beginning of a year placed in the middle of dead winter? And where did the many customs surrounding New Year's originate? Is January 1st the true beginning of a new year? Who has the authority to determine when a new year begins? Today's message is entitled, New Year's Day. New Year's Day. We'll examine 7 points. 1, pagan religions background. 2, origin of January 1st date. 3, church acceptance. 4, feast of circumcision. 5, pagan spirit. 6, God condemns New Year's. And 7, when God begins the new year and why. Point number 1, pagan religions background. From Plain Truth, January 78, Happy New Year, there are a bevy of New Year's days every year. Nearly every culture has its own. Most New Years find their origin in some religion. Man has been an observer and worshiper of the sun, moon, and stars from time immemorial, and they are keys to our calendar and to time. It's only natural that the priests of one sort or another would be involved in setting up New Year's. The most popular time of year chosen by myriad of pagans from ancient days has been the winter solstice. Worshipping the sun as the rain deity, they naturally regarded the lengthening of days of late December as a sure sign that their sun god had been born anew, and therefore a new year had begun. The reckoning captured the imagination of the Christian world and has happily followed this pagan practice, as done with so many others, without question. When the month named after the pagan god Janus begins, it's Happy New Year. But what does God think about all this confusion? Good news, bad news. With every new year comes the anticipation of what the future holds. We have a wary eye to the future of our poor old world. Thankfully, God has genuine good news over the horizon, but between now and then, there seems to be a lot of bad news. Point 2, origin and January 1st date. From Plain Truth, December 64, Truth About New Year's, how did the celebration of New Year's begin? New Year's is an ancient pagan custom, one of the oldest and most universal of all pagan traditions, essentially unchanged for 4,000 years. In his definitive book, New Year, Theodore H. Gaster writes, There's scarcely a people, ancient or modern, savage or civilized, which has not observed it in one form or another. In ancient Babylon, New Year's festivals were closely bound to the pagan feast called Christmas today. Earl W. Count, in 4,000 Years of Christmas, writes, Mesopotamia is the very ancient mother of civilization. Christmas began there over 4,000 years ago as the festival which renewed the world for another year. The 12 days of Christmas, the bright fires, and probably the Yule log, the giving of presents, the carnivals with their floats, their merrymaking and clowning, the mummers who sing and play from house to house, the feasting, the church processions with their lights and song, all these and more, centuries before Christ. And they celebrated the arrival of a new year. That's how it began. The New Year's festivities that had originated in Babylon found their way to Rome. Rome called it Saturnalia, in honor of Saturn. Among them, it was extremely popular, a time of revelings, drinking bouts, orgies, and finally ending in human sacrifice. The first day of the Saturnalia shifted during the lifetime of Rome. It began around the middle of December and continued till January the 1st. It was Julius Caesar, emperor of pagan Rome, who instituted New Year's festival on January the 1st. In 46 BC, Caesar adopted the Julian calendar. He transferred to the 1st of January all of the licentious customs surrounding the Roman Saturnalia. Point 3, church acceptance. Thoroughly pagan New Year's Day came into our modern Christian calendar. We read from church history about 375 AD, the period Emperor Constantine imposed Christianity on the Roman world. From 4,000 years of Christmas, quote, there were many immigrants into the ranks of the Christians by this time. The church fathers discovered, to their alarm, that they were also facing an invasion of pagan customs. The habit of Saturnalia was too strong to be left behind. At first, the church forbade it, but in vain. The church finally succeeded in taking the merriment, the greenery, the lights, and the gifts from Saturn and giving them to the babe of Bethlehem. The pagan Romans became Christians, but the Saturnalia remained. Modern Christians, rather than present a gift to Jesus Christ on the day falsely assumed to be his birthday, busily trade presents among themselves. Christ is not only forgotten at Christmas time, but is also not so much as toasted amid the partying of New Year's Eve. Point 4, Feast of Circumcision. From the Catholic Encyclopedia, Feast of Circumcision, quote, Jesus Christ was circumcised on the eighth day. He was required to, quote, endure this humiliation, unquote. The circumcision fell on the 1st of January. Even in our own day, the secular features of the opening of the new year interfere with the religious observance of the circumcision and tend to make a mere holiday that we should have the sacred character, which should have the sacred character of a holy day, unquote. From internet article, January the 1st, is this a date to celebrate? New Year's Day did not become a holy day in the Roman Catholic Church until 487 AD, when it was declared to be the Feast of Circumcision. This gave an eight-day festival with a holy day at the beginning, December 25th, and a holy day, January the 1st, at the end. Similar in that respect to the Feast of Tabernacles. It was determined that if Jesus was born on the December the 25th, even though he could not have been, since he was circumcised 8 days later, he would have been circumcised on January the 1st, hence the rationale for New Year's being the Feast of Circumcision. December 25th, 26th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 30th, 31st, 8 days. There is no indication in the Bible that Jesus' circumcision should be celebrated. There's one verse in the Bible that specifically discusses Jesus' circumcision. Let's turn to Luke 2, verse 21. Luke 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. There is no command to celebrate this date. Question: should people engage in heavy drinking and loud parties the evening before to honor the fact that Jesus Christ would be circumcised the next day? No. Question: should we put up pretty multicolored lights on our houses from mid-December until January the 1st? No. The Bible specifically warns about celebrating observances for the true God that are used for pagan gods. God says in Jeremiah 10, verse 2, "Learn not the way of the heathen." Wikipedia says some churches celebrate the Feast of Circumcision of Christ on January the 1st based on the belief that Jesus was born on December 25th. From Plain Truth, December 61, and reprinted, "When Was Christ Born?" The truth is, no man knew or knows when Christ was born. Even though there are no records which show the date of Christ's birth, there is sufficient evidence within the Bible itself which clearly reveals that his birth was nowhere near, of all days, December 25th. Autumn, not winter, is the only possible season. There are many proofs which point to an early autumn birth of Christ, late September or early October, nowhere near December 25th. For example, the flocks were never in the fields in Palestine during the winter season. Also, in Luke 2, verses 1 to 5, we are told that Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem to be taxed. Taxation was very near the first of Tishri, the early autumn, the ending of the civil year in Palestine, when such things were common. This would have been just the beginning of the Hebrew seventh month of Tishri. During this particular month of Tishri, Jerusalem and all the immediate towns, including Bethlehem, were filled with people who had come to observe the holy days in this seventh month, the Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles. By illustration, Josephus, the Jewish historian, mentions that it was customary for one of the holy days, Passover, for over 2 million Jews to go to Jerusalem. Normally, Jerusalem was a city of only 120,000 inhabitants. No wonder, then, Bethlehem, quote, "there was no room in the inn," unquote, Luke 2, verse 7. Because the annual fall festivals occurring at that time attracted multitude of Jews to Jerusalem and nearby towns, filling all available accommodations. Bethlehem was one of the towns right near Jerusalem, about 5 miles south, and was considered in the, quote, "festival area," unquote, of Jerusalem. The time Christ was born was at a season when Bethlehem was filled with people coming to observe the holy days at Jerusalem. And no wonder we find Mary, along with Joseph, not merely to pay taxes. It was customary for Joseph and Mary, and later their family, to go to Jerusalem for the holy festivals, as shown in Luke 2, verse 41, John 7, verses 1 to 10. This again corroborates the early autumn birth, during which the festival period of the Hebrew seventh month. But still, with all these indications of the proper season of Christ's birth, we still do not know the exact day. God never intended for us to determine it or to celebrate it. Point 5. Pagan Spirit. From Plain Truth, December 64. New Year's Eve has become a time for partying with excess of liquor. Many feel have a wild time on New Year's Eve and turn over a new leaf on New Year's Day. New Year's resolutions are empty and meaningless. Few make a lasting change. More alcoholic beverages are consumed during the holiday season than at any other time of the year. The fact is that the December 25th to January the 1st period was originally a time for partying and honoring the sun god and various pagan gods. Today, people seem to ignore that, just like some unfaithful Christians did in the 3rd century. New Year's Eve today is noted for its licentious, wild, and wanton partying. Most people seem to have convinced themselves that God is out of the picture, that God is not concerned with their modern revelings, drunken parties, promiscuous behavior. But what does God say about New Year's? Does God condone observing a pagan festival, practicing pagan customs. Point six, God condemns New Year's. God does not compromise. God sternly warned Israel as they conquered the pagan nations of the Promised Land. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 12, verses 30 and 31. Deuteronomy 12, verses 30 and 31. Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, they have done to their gods. These very rites and customs practiced in ancient Canaan and Syria included the New Year's festivals. The very same pagan practices God condemns in the Old Testament are being perpetuated today. Though condemned by God, they were adopted by ancient Israel and are an integral part of today's society. Why did God take ancient Israel into captivity? What was the result of Israel following the customs of the heathen nations around them? Answer, God was very angry. I'll read from 2 Kings 17, verses 18, 20, and 23. Verse 18, therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. Verse 20, afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of plunderers, till he had cast them from his sight. Verse 23, Israel was carried away from their own land. God has not changed his mind about compromising with paganism. God warns in Malachi 3, verse 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Also Hebrews 13, 8. God speaks to Israel today. I'll read Ezekiel 20, verse 39. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go serve every one of you his idols. And hereafter, if you will not obey me, but profane my holy name, no more with your gifts and your idols. In other words, God says, be pagan if you insist, but quit calling it Christian. God continues warning Israel today against the holidays of paganism. Let's read and stay there in Hosea 2, verse 11. Hosea 2, verse 11. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, all her appointed feasts. Notice that these were her feast days. those Israel had acquired from the pagan nations around them, not those God had originally instituted through his Bible. Verse 13, Hosea 2, verse 13. I will punish her for the days of the Baals to which she burned incense. The very same punishment awaits today for forsaking God's law and turning to the customs of the pagan nations, observing pagan days of worship. Does it make any difference continuing observing pagan customs like New Year's? It certainly does. God says in Jeremiah 10, verse 2, learn not the way of the heathen. Last, point 7. When God begins the new year and why? God created the universe, setting the heavenly bodies in their courses at creation. His master clock determines time. The earth's rotation regulates the length of a day. The lunar phases the length of a month. And the orbit of the earth around the sun the length of a year. But only God has the authority to set the date of the beginning of the new year. God's sacred calendar begins in the spring, not in the middle of dead winter. Let's turn to Exodus 12, verses 1 and 2. Exodus 12, verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. This first month was later called Abib, A-B-I-B, meaning green ears, and later Nisan, meaning beginning or month of flowers. God placed the beginning of the sacred year in the early spring to mark the beginning of the seasonal harvest. The two annual harvests in Palestine foreshadowed God's plan for the twofold spiritual harvest of souls to be born into his kingdom. The Bible talks about, quote, times and laws, unquote, being changed in Daniel 7, verse 25. So, the calendar year beginning has been changed from spring to January the 1st. This tries to hide God's plan for the salvation of mankind. Man has no authority to change God's master clock. Satan, however, has cleverly deceived the world into believing the new year begins on January the 1st. In conclusion, point 1, pagan religions background. We've seen New Year's pagan Babylonian origin 4,000 years ago, with celebrations moved to January the 1st by Julius Caesar. Point 2, origin and January the 1st date. January the 1st New Year celebration was accepted by the church in Rome. Point 3, church acceptance. Thoroughly pagan New Year's Day came into our modern Christian calendar. Point 4. Feast of Circumcision. New Year's Day was declared the Feast of Circumcision. This gives an 8-day festival, giving 2 holy days, holidays, Christmas, December the 25th, to New Year's, January the 1st. Point 5, pagan spirit. The pagan New Year's spirit is practiced today. Point 6, God condemns New Year's. God condemns New Year's celebration. Point 7, when God begins the new year and why? God's new year begins in the spring, in the first month, with the timing of the Passover and the spring first fruits harvest. Instead of pagan New Year's observance, we look forward to God's spring festivals at the beginning of God's calendar.